So Acts chapter 23, verse 1 to 11. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Amen. May God bless to us this portion of his word. Here we find Paul before what is called the council, or the Sanhedrin. And at the end of the last chapter, we saw that this Jewish council, it was a council or a gathering of 70 leaders, 70 elders. And they had been called, together with all the multitude, by the chief captain to explain what Paul's crime was and why everyone was so angry against him. Now, we don't have time to go into too much detail with respect to this Sanhedrin, this council. There's a lot of history and tradition present at this meeting. But what we can see is that immediately Paul begins to defend himself. So he doesn't wait until there are any formal charges brought. He simply begins to defend himself there in front of this council. And in his defense, he is not saying in this opening verse that he was a man who never had any sin, but he is saying that he had lived honestly according to the Jewish religion, and he was zealous for God's law. And we know, as Paul knew, that everyone is a sinner. So no one is perfect before God, and Paul did not imagine himself to be. And all men are sinners. But there had been an integrity, an honesty about Paul's life. To the extent that he understood the law of God, he had been careful in his efforts to uphold and be obedient to it. But then we see that immediately the high priest has Paul silenced by asking or instructing someone that was standing close by the apostle to slap him in the face, to slap him in the mouth. And Paul reacts against the high priest sharply, and we might say with good reason. Although we then find that the apostle backtracks when he is told that this Ananias is actually the high priest this year. And so we can see that Ananias, he demanded respect for his office from those around about, but he himself was abusing his office by not upholding the very rules of the council under which Paul was being tried. So having been denied his right to defend himself, the Apostle Paul notices something else. He notices that, or he realizes that there would be no fair hearing given to him on this day. And so he very cleverly exploits the divisions that he knows exists amongst the members of this Sanhedrin. He knew that some of these people believed in the spiritual world and some did not. He knew that some of them believed in the resurrection of the dead and some did not. And so he says to them that what this accusation, what this council was really all about was the hope and resurrection of the dead. Now this was true because what Paul was being accused of was being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ had indeed risen from the dead, as indeed all believers shall. And when Paul stopped speaking about why he was being tried, these silly men began to argue amongst themselves. Of course, they had no true spiritual understanding, but all they wanted to do was to win the argument and to win the fight. And it seems as if the debate got wilder and wilder, to the point that the chief captain became concerned that Paul would be killed amid the furore and the rumpus that was taking place. And he sent the soldiers back amongst the Jewish people again in order to rescue Paul and to draw him out from the midst of the trouble that was beginning to take place. And then the most important aspect of this whole episode came before us. And we are told that that night, in the quietness of Paul's cell, where he was, the Lord Jesus Christ came to him and stood beside him. And I think this is lovely. Those of you who have read letter Bibles will see that these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostle, now recounts to us. And undoubtedly, Paul had told Luke what the Lord said to him. These are the words of Christ. He stood beside his friend as he had done before on several different occasions. Remember, this was the same Lord that had met Paul in the Damascus Road. It was the same Lord that had given him a vision of his presence in Corinth. And now it had happened once before in Jerusalem, and now it happens in Jerusalem again. You know, sometimes we might wish that the Lord Jesus Christ would speak to us in this way, that the Lord would come and speak to us personally. But that is not how the Lord chooses to speak to his people these days. Rather, the Lord speaks to us in the Bible, in the gospel, in the preaching of the word of God. And he calls upon us to listen, and he gives us faith, and he gives us spiritual insight and understanding. And understanding that we may hear his word and, as it were, by faith, see his person in the gospel and in the word of God. The very word of God becomes lively and real to us, and it is as if we hear the very voice of Christ speaking to us through the gospel message. So verse 11 says, "The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul.'" You see how he knew his name? The Lord knows all his people by name. He knows us personally, and he knows the needs that we have personally. He says, "As thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And I want you to learn this just from that little verse, that the Lord cares for his people. You know, the providence of God, the way God's will was going to work out, Paul would be all right. But the Lord came to him and told him he would be all right. The Lord spoke to him and comforted him. In the depths of the night, he came and stood beside his bed and whispered words of comfort to his soul. And so the scriptures whisper words of comfort to our souls. And the gospel whispers words of comfort to our souls. Whether that's in the daytime or in the depths of the night, the Lord speaks to his people in such ways and encourages us when we need his help. And the other thing that this tells us is that hereby the Lord confirmed his purpose. You see, it was God's purpose that Paul should go to Rome and testify of him. And that's what the Lord says. The Lord says, "You have testified of me in Jerusalem. That was what I wanted you to do." Now, I want you to notice something there. The Lord didn't say to him, "You've won converts for me in Jerusalem." He didn't say to him, "You've enlarged the church in Jerusalem." He didn't say to him, "You've made disciples in Jerusalem." He didn't say to him, "You've become a soul winner in Jerusalem." He said, "You've testified of me." And that's what the Lord calls his church to do, to testify of Christ, to testify about the things that Christ has done, to witness to the things that Jesus Christ has done, whether that is to the saints of old or whether that's in our own lives, as Paul gave his personal testimony. We witness of the things that we have seen and heard in our lives and in our experience. And that is what Paul would be called to do now at Rome. The Lord tells Paul that he must now go to Rome and bear witness there. And that shows us that our lives are in God's hands. Someone once said, "I am immortal until my work is done." And that was true for Paul, and it is true for you and for me. We will live in this world. And we will bear witness, as we read in Psalm 70, we will bear witness to this generation and to the generations to come until the Lord is pleased to say, "Your work is done, well done, my good and faithful servant," and gather us to himself. We do well to live with a sense of humility. We have nothing, nothing but that which the Lord has given to us. And yet also we should live with a sense of destiny, because we are the Lord's people and we have the richness of his blessing upon us. We are ambassadors of a king in this dark world. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we have good reason to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and for deliverance from our enemies, as the Apostle Paul found out. Paul still had troubles to face, and so will we. But he could face them more confidently because the Lord Jesus Christ had come to him in the night and encouraged him and comforted him. And the Lord will encourage and comfort us in the gospel and in his word and in the preaching and in the reading of his word, as he is pleased to come by his Spirit and minister it to our hearts. Amen.